God can do anything. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine light to shine upon thy precious word now at this very moment. In the name of Jesus, amen. A story comes from the fifth chapter of Mark today, where we have the raising of a little girl from the dead. Jesus can raise people from the dead. Mark chapter 5 reads like this, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now I shall stop reading here, because as Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house, where the little girl was at, he was approached by a woman who had a blood issue, a blood disease. And after the Lord healed this woman of her ailment, then he went unto the house of Jairus, where he raised up his daughter from the dead. One of the things I'd like to mention as we go through the Gospels is Jesus' generosity. There are and always will be people in Christian communities who, before they give somebody something or anything, they prejudge that person. They first want to know whether that somebody is worthy, and if that somebody is not good enough in their eyes, they will withhold their generosity from them. They say, he does not deserve it. I'll hold my gift for somebody else who is more worthy. It may help you to know that at one time I was such a person myself. That was before I was sanctified. God has done a work in me since, is still working with me, and I do not prejudge people anymore when it comes to giving. I can, by the grace of God, give as easily to the worst man as to the best man on the face of the earth, and that's because of Jesus. Read in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, these words of Jesus: "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." There aren't too many things greater than rain and sunshine and the earthly blessings. If you have no rain, life will end. If you have no sun, life will end. Jesus said, "My Father lets it rain on the communists in North Korea, on the Hindus, on the Buddhists, on the Muslims, on people in Israel, United States, and anywhere. God loves all of us, the sinners and the righteous. God has enough reserve that he can and does bless everyone to a good measure. God's not stingy. His love makes him share his wealth and mercy and blessings without prejudging the people here on the earth. Oh, how far are we from God when we say, here, he or she does not really deserve this. I tell you, my friends, I like my God. I like my Jesus. Everyone I know of in the Gospels that came to Jesus with faith, who came to Jesus out of a great need, God helped everyone in some way, and no one was prejudged. Now, there will be a judgment day, but the judgment is not now. The simple biblical formula is this: now is the time of love and grace, and that love and grace period, which we're now in, now precedes God's judgment. So the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus, and Jesus healed her. Jairus came to Jesus for his daughter, and Jesus went to his house to raise her from the dead. I want you to know, my friend, you can come to Jesus no matter who you are. You can go to Jesus. While you may not get the help exactly the way the woman who was sick with the blood issue got, you may not get to have your daughter raised from the dead. Jesus works differently in helping every one of us as we come to him, but he will help. Now let's look at how Jairus came to Jesus. It says in verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." A ruler of the synagogue is a lay official who administers duties in a synagogue, that's a church, as an overseer of the worship service. For example, he decides who gets to sit in that chair up there to read the scriptures. The position of a ruler of a synagogue is as high as can be. It's a respected and honorable position. If you were to be such a one, everybody in town would know about you and look at you with great gratitude and appreciation, for you are in charge of the worship service. But Jairus, instead of coming to Jesus as an equal, he came to Jesus as a subordinate. And that is the only right way to come to Jesus as a subordinate. It says in verse 22, when Jairus saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Matthew says in his gospel that Jairus fell at his feet and worshiped Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you want to come to worship him. There are many people who come to Jesus wanting this and wanting that without falling at Jesus' feet, without worshiping him. They will not subject themselves to his lordship. But this man, one of the most powerful, respected spiritual men, when he first saw Jesus, he worshiped him. He publicly humbled himself in the presence of the townsfolk at the feet of our Lord. My friend, I'm not at all surprised that for a man like this, Jesus was willing to raise the dead. I believe, as I said, Jesus will help anyone who comes to him sincerely, but the extent to which Jesus will do miracles for us may depend on how we come to him and the degree to which we humble ourselves before God. Now notice further the petition of the ruler of the synagogue, the manner of his petition. We'll go back to verse 23. It says, "And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death." What I see here is a crying with tears. What I see is an earnestness. It's a prayer that comes out of the depths of the heart of a broken man. I see here prayer upon prayer with great intensity. He says he besought him greatly. Oh, my friend, I want you to know that Jesus is moved by this type of petitioning. Have you ever had your five-year-old son or daughter say to you, Grandpa, Grandmother, would you please, oh please, would you please let me have a kitten or a doll? When you say, no, I'm too busy or I don't have the money, then that little one will ask again and will ask a little stronger. And then that little one, if that doesn't work, begins to plead ever so more earnestly, yet letting you know that if you would get that kitten or doll, it means the world to him or to her. And there you are on the way, aren't you, after that great pleading, and you get that kitten or that doll, it will cost you something, but you'll do it. So our hearts can be broken down by little ones. It is the little ones who humbly plead with us, who can make us do things that we otherwise would not do. Well, you know what happened here, that Jairus quickly broke down the heart of Jesus as he knelt, as he worshipped, as he pled with Jesus earnestly to please come to his house and pray for that daughter. It's a beautiful passage in the scriptures where Jesus urges us to come to him with such pleading as Jairus came to the Lord. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given you." And actually the Greek text indicates it should read, "Ask and keep. Asking, and it shall be given you. Seek, and keep seeking, and you shall find. And knock, and keep knocking, and it shall be opened unto you." Jesus told us this for our encouragement, so that when we don't get something right away, that he wants us to persevere, and he wants for us to break him down. Now, I don't know where Jesus had planned to go that day. He certainly was going somewhere. But when Jairus came, going to Jairus' house became part of his plan for that day. Oh, friend, the power of pleading with God, it is without measure. Don't we most of the time just quietly send up a little prayer and ending with, but Lord, thy will be done. Well, this is about as thin as a prayer can be. Oh, maybe learn to lay it on thick. These men earnestly besought Jesus. He did not add that little phrase at the end of his prayer, but Lord, thy will be done. If you don't want my daughter to be healed, that's fine too. No way. Now, there's a place for that little phrase, Lord, thy will be done, but don't put it where it does not belong. Now, let's go on with the story. When about halfway on the way to Jairus' house, and while Jesus was moving along, there comes a messenger from Jairus' house to meet Jesus. And he brings a message saying that the daughter was dead. Oh, my friend, hallelujah. I'm saying this because I know it's coming. That's why I'm saying hallelujah. There are many times when what you ask for earnestly with tears, before you get it, it dies. Before you get the thing that you begged for, it becomes utterly hopeless. You get a report that everything has been shut down. The business has been sold. The computer has crashed. The church is closed. The ship you wanted to travel on has sunk. The plane you were to catch has left the airport without you. The savings you put together for 20 years have been lost. Verse 35 says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Why troublest thou the master any further? It is over. It was not God's will for this daughter to live. And now we accept that. So we stop praying. We stop believing. We stop asking. We might as well stop traveling to that house of Jairus. Are you with me? Do you hear what I'm saying? It says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, the daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? So don't you see it was not God's will for this daughter to live, we say? So let's proceed with a funeral, make a hole in the ground and bury this daughter. Oh, 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 what's next? I like what's next. It says in the next verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says, under the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus heard the word about the death of Jairus' daughter, but he said, believe, don't be afraid. He saw the faith of Jairus falter and stumble. But as soon as he saw his faith stumble, he said to him, don't be afraid, keep on believing. Oh, it pays to walk with Jesus. This man was now walking with Jesus. He was now close to Jesus, as close as he could get. And my friend, when the going gets rough, the lights are turned off, the bridge in front of you collapses, you will hear things that you will not hear otherwise if you are close to Jesus. You will hear the words in your ear, keep believing and don't be afraid. There's a world of difference between what the church people who are close to Jesus hear and experience and receive from those church people who are not close to Jesus. So, be close to Jesus. I'm happy about this. If you're close to Jesus, when the bridge collapses, you'll hear his words, go on, only believe. The ones close to Jesus, my friend, will be blessed, will be helped. The ones not will be in discouragement. Now let's go to the next verse, verse 27. It says, and he allowed no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Sometimes I hear people say, if we only had more people to pray, things would get better. But here Jesus said, the only ones I want to help me are Peter, James, and John. Keep the rest out of the prayer meeting. Because you see, Peter, James, and John walked in the inner circle, because for inner circle miracles to happen, you need none other than inner circle believers. And so we have these beautiful words coming to the end of the story. And he, that is Jesus, took the damsel, the young girl, by the hand. He said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. So my friend, all that come to Jesus are going to get some help. But the extent to which you get help is related how you come to Jesus and how closely you stay with him. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time with the same station, and goodbye now until then.